Torah Od, Parshas Yisrei, page 146, bottom of the first column. Okay, so the pasuk says, "V'chol ha'amoreimus and kerdusus lapidimus kerla shefer." The whole nation saw the voices and the flames and the voice of the shefer. L'hav in lama ha'yakol shefer b'matan teira. And matan teira was the big shefer blowing. He says, why do we need shofar blowing a matan Torah? V'chile klei shir ha'yutzrichim. Did they need a symphony? They needed musical instruments. There's no better instrument than a shofar. A shofar is not a very good musical instrument. So the question is, why in the world is the inyan of a shofar by matan Torah? Number one, they don't need instruments. And if they need instruments, get a better one. He says, "Inyan dina kol shofar." What is inyan of a shofar? The sound of a shofar is called pashut, a simplistic voice. Umatul emo, and it shows fear. Like the pasuk says, "Hayitaka shofar beir v'amla yichrodu." If you blow shofar in the city, will the people not tremble? Shofar is a trembling sound. Shukel charad k'meisha kasim. You talk of a shofar beir v'amla yichrodu. The same thing by matan Torah. It says ve'yikelu suvrakim v'kol shofar chazik me'ed ve'yacherad. After the pasuk says the sound of the shofar is going strong, then the pasuk says they all trembled. So shofar accomplishes a trembling. Ach kol zeh nikra shofar. But why is it called shofar? Because shofar comes in the word shapru masechem. Shapru means better your ways. Shapir means good, better. So shofar is called shofar. Number one, the sound throws a fear and a trembling. And secondly, shofar means better your ways. But shofar brings down the level of tainug. And down here, it causes the inyan of tainug. Meaning like this. Says in Siddhis that we learned already many times that Moshul, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Hashem leaves the world. And we have to, on Rosh Hashanah, we have to re-coronate the king. How do we re-coronate the king? Because we have to accept him as king. Then he'll want to be king again. So it says, what is Shefer, purpose of Shefer? That Hashem should have a desire to run the world again. Okay? So therefore, what is the inyan of Shefer bringing down the Tainug of Hashem to come into the world? And that's the source of all pleasures down here, because again, wisdom down here is sourced in wisdom of Hashem. Pleasure down here was sourced in the pleasure of Hashem. And he says, it's the source of all pleasures from above. And that Hamshach of Tainug and bettering and enjoyment has to come from the level of matan Torah. So because matan Torah is basically the way Hashem is connecting to the world in a way that, like we learned, it becomes one world, and heaven and earth become one, because that's what matan Torah accomplished. So therefore, matan Torah needed this level of shofar to bring down the level of tainug from above. And that original tainug, meaning that Hashem should want to be in the world, originates from matan Torah. Because when the Eden keep Torah, that's why the Medrash says, Hashem made a condition with the world. If the Eden accept Torah on Shavuos, I'll give them the Torah. If not, you go back to nothing again.
So shofar brought him down?
Yeah. Obeying Yezed, just say by Rosh Hashanah, what does shofar do? It's Mamsh Chalukus, to be want to be in the world.
That was the
shofar
of Avraham Avinu?
Yes.
The Akedah?
There's a shofar. Well, no, there are two shofars by the Akedah. The ram has two shofars, the left one and the right one. So we learned, well, the Maimer of Rosh Hashanah, the Rebbe explains, the last edited Maimer of the Rebbe Rosh Hashanah, of Chelik Vov. Yeah. The Rebbe writes that the right horn, the left keren, the left was the one used by Matan Torah, and the right one is the Kerl HaShofar of Mashiach. Talk about Shefer Gadol. Okay, so he says, there'll be an inyan zeh to understand what this all means. We need to understand what Matan Torah is all about. Before Matan Torah, there were many tzaddikim, many neviim. K'mei Adam Arishin, Chanech, Misu Shelech, right, all these great people. Avram Kiyem Kola Torah Kula Gamach Leinit. Avram Avinu kept the whole Torah before it was given, like it says, Vayishma Mishmarti. So the question is, what did Matan Torah accomplish? So he says, Rak Shahoyin Zaberuchnius. Okay, that was only Ruchnius. So the question is, Ve'eze Shino Hoya Benesinus HaTorah Begashmius. What was the advantage of Matan Torah in the physical world? In other words, what did Matan Torah accomplish if they had this stuff before? This is, by the way, this is a little bit he mentioned in the other Maimon that we just learned. Avram Avinu, as the Pasuk says, halach v'naseh anegba, he kept going, spreading Yiddishkeit, shenaseh b'chinas mekova, in the level of negba, even in the south, at shenaseh mekova. To the extent, he was a merkava, completely chariot, completely bottled to Hashem. B'chinas halach v'naseh, going and coming, haynu b'chinas ratzeh v'sheif. Okay, longing, when it says like this, halach v'naseh, basically means coming and going. Now, coming and going is, as the Pasuk says in the Nevuah of Yechezkel, when he saw the throne, Achayis Rotzev Hashayif. The Chayis were the longing and the returning. In other words, what's the Avodah of the Jew? To have a longing for the Neshama to get out of the body, to have this longing to be one with Hashem. But the opposite side, Shayif, means you understand that Hashem wants us to be in the body. Like, what was the sin of Nadav and Avihu? They had the longing without the return. So the neshama is popped out of the body. Like Ben Zayma, Elisha ben Avuya Ached, when they went up to the Pardes, they had one died crazy, Abikiris, correct, thank you. Only Rabbi Kiva came out okay, because Rabbi Kiva understood that when you go in, you got to come out too. So he says, what's the Avodah of Avraham Avinu? Rotzev Hashayif. Imayin, you Rotzev Hashayif. So what is, now that the Rebbe said, what is this Rotzev Hashayif that we find by Avraham Avinu that every Jew is supposed to have? So he says, in Eksiv, it says in the Pasuk, we say every day in davening and benching and everything. Eis in Kaddish. Eis is Shalom Bimreimov. Hashem makes peace on high. Also, Shalom b'mreim of Hashem makes peace on high. Uyase Shalom aleinu, you should make peace on us down here too. That means Hashem is making kaviyoch. Hashem is making peace in the heavens. One sec. Sheyesh eishumayim. There's a level of fire and water. Ve'ein amayim mechabes oesh. Meaning, what does that mean? Hashem makes peace in heaven. There's fire and water. Normally, they at fighting each other. They cannot coexist. Hashem makes peace in heaven means fire and water coexist. In simple English, there's an angel called Michal, who's the angel of Chesed Mayim. There's a malach of Gavriel, who's the malach of Gvura, fire. And Hashem makes peace between Michal and Gavriel. L'cheir ain't a move on. He says, L'cheir, it doesn't make sense. What do you mean, up there there's a fight? He says, okay, he says, how could there peace be? There's no fire and water up there. So what is Hashem making peace? And what does it mean that normally water extinguishes fire, so therefore Hashem needs to make peace? Up there in heaven, what does it mean that there's fire and water, and the fire and the water and the water are fighting, and Hashem has to make peace? What does that mean? So he says, this is the level of Ratzav Hashem, by the way. The longing and the returning. The level of fire and water is the level of Ratzav Hashem, is the longing and the coming. And he explains. You say the Eish Belev, the element of fire, Alter Rebbe says, is in the heart. Right? The mind is cold. That's the source of water. Right, the heart is a source of emotions. That's warmth and excitement. She said, okay, let me explain it first outside. It's very simple. What we're talking about, fire and water, besides Michal and Gavriel, we're also talking about, the Rebbe explains about the longing and the returning. Now, fire goes up and water comes down. Okay? When you have a longing to something, that means it's a longing to something greater than you. Or at least in your mind, you think it's greater. So that's going up. That's the rotsu, the longing to leave my present level to go there. Shuv is a level of the water coming down, meaning the desire to be, Hashem wants me to be in the body, to do Torah mitzvahs. He doesn't want me to pop off. Okay? So this level of Ratzav Hashem in Avodah, in the spiritual world, actually means the longing and the returning. Like it says by the Malachim, which is up there, by the way, Harchayis, Ratzav Hashem. They have this longing to Hashem, I want to be there, but you want to be here. By the way, this is generally speaking, the neshama in the body. Neshama wants to get out of the body. But it understands that Hashem wants it to be in the body. You live against your will, you die against your will. And therefore, Chassidus explains that why does a person shake subconsciously when you daven, you learn, you shuckle? So it says in Sfarim, because the neshama, which is Ner Hashem Nishma Sodom, the candle of God, so when you're learning godliness, you're davening godliness and all that, the neshama is flickering. The movement is like the flickering of the neshama to get out of the body. Yet at the same time, what?
Burning desire.
Burning desire, good. Burning desire to reach the Elokus, and at the same time, the neshama understands this and that's not where it's supposed to be.
Could this concept...
One second, like a shliach, okay, that's out somewhere, so he, in order to be successful, by the way, he has to have a longing to be in New York by the Rebbe. That's where he wants to be, but at the same time, he understands that's not where he's supposed to be. Like we learned, Menashe and Ephraim, in order for, Menashe means the longing to the father's house. Ephraim means the being fruitful and multiplying the land of Mitzrayim, right? In order to have a properly fruitful and successful in Mitzrayim, you need to remember where you came from. If a shliach doesn't remember, and every Jew is a shliach, if you don't remember where you came from, and the purpose why you're here, so what happens is, the neshama comes into the body, it forgets where it came from, and it only longs, gashmi is thicker things. So that's the problem.
But yep. Ephraim was blessed
first. Huh?
Ephraim was blessed first.
Because the ultimate purpose is Ephraim. But in order for Ephraim to be successful in Mitzrayim, you need to remember where you came from. If not, you get stuck in Mitzrayim, you become like Mitzrayim. So the ultimate goal... Okay, weiter. So he says that's the level of Ratz of Hashem. That's what it says. Imratz Libcha. Haino Aidei Bina Liba Sheyosem Aliba. When a person realizes with his heart, meaning he understands with his heart, meaning he feels. When he meditates into the greatness of Hashem, ain't soft that he's infinite. But ain't tachlis and there's no end. Only a slight ray of Elokus is on the world. And he realizes that the whole existence of the world is only Malchus, which is the speech of Hashem, which is very minimal revelation of Hashem. That the whole existence of the universe, from nothing into something, is the level of Malchus, which is only speech, which is only a slight ha'ara ba'alma, his pashtus lezulose, which spreads itself out to others, she'ne negelat smusim hulsa kaviyachah, which is totally irrelevant to the essence. Like we learned, one word compared to the essence has no relevance whatsoever. Because Hashem is really not, he's not even mamal, he's not even seviv, he's not the finite, he's not the infinite, he's above both. Therefore, what does the heart understand in the longing to go out to Hashem? He says, the neshama has this burning fire. What's fire? Fire always wants to leave the wick. That's why it's going up. Chassidus explains, why does fire go up? Okay, scientifically, it's lighter than gas. The gas is lighter than air, whatever, so it goes up. But the Rambam writes, and Chassidus elaborates on this, why does fire go up? because the nature of everything is to go back to its source. Where is the source of fire? The Rambam says under the rotation of the moon, tachet, whatever it means. Tachet galgal ayereach, the source of fire comes under the rotation of the moon. So therefore, fire wants to go up because it wants to go back to its source, but it's forced to be on the wick, or on the wick, in the wick, whatever. So that's the same thing with the neshama. The neshama, which is Ner Hashem, this candle, wants to get out of the wick, out of the body. The body is like a wick. Looks like a wick also. And the neshama is in the fire in the body. And then you need the oil to keep it going. Therefore, the malachim and the Jew has to be in the longing, meaning you want to get away from the body, you want to be one with Hashem. When a person realizes where they come from of Hashem, that has no beginning or end, they have this burning sensation like a fire. That means a chayis that comes to them, also has this long. Okay, so he says like this. What's the inyan of Avram Avinu's Avodah? And we'll understand, therefore, why we need Matan Torah for this proper longing and returning. But Avram Avinu's Avodah of Holech V'Naseya, coming and going and traveling, meaning coming and going, his Avodah was the Avodah of having this longing, the love of Hashem. Avram personified Ava. They have this love of Hashem that the Neshama wants to get out of there. And that's what every Jew is supposed to have, the avodah, is not to want to be here and realize we're forced to be here. One second, that's why this explains the contradiction of the Mishnah, which seemingly is a paradox. The Mishnah, in the end of the fifth paragraph, picking up, it says, you live against your will and you die against your will. So the obvious question doesn't make sense. If you die against your will, that means you want to live, so how can you live against your will? Dying against your will and living against your will, the Mishnah basically is saying, is longing and returning. From one side, the Neshama wants to get out of here. It doesn't want to live. And then from the other side, though, he wants to, because that's what Hashem wants. That's the Veda V'rotz of Hashem. It's not a contradiction. You live against your will, you die against your will. Meaning you have to have this opposite tendency within the person that from one side, they don't want to live in the body. They want to, the Neshama wants to go back to Gan Eden. And yet from the other side, they don't want to die because the purpose of the neshama is to be down here. There's a beautiful song they sing. It's in Yiddish or in English. Malachal, it's called. The way the malach comes before a baby is born, the malach comes to the neshama and says, okay, your turn came to go down to earth. It's a beautiful song in Yiddish. They sing, they all sing it. And the neshama doesn't want to come down. So now the Malachal comes, the angel comes and says, Neshamala, you have to, there's no choice, you got to come down. Neshama comes down, then lives its life. After 120, the Malachal comes and says, boy, okay, time to go home. He says, no, I don't want to go home. I like it here. We're talking about the Neshama. What is the Neshama like here? Because only here can it do Torah mitzvahs. Neshama in Gan Eden can do Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, there's a din. You're not allowed to do mitzvahs in a cemetery. Yeah. In fact, if you're going with your tzitzis out, you have to tuck your tzitzis in. Because it's called, you're laying l'rosh, you're laughing at the dead people. Basically, you're telling the guys in the grave that, you can't do mitzvahs and we could. So you're making fun of the deceased, which is disrespectful. But the bottom line is, only down here can we do Torah mitzvahs. So therefore, the neshama wants to be down here. Neshama doesn't want to go up. So you have to have this opposite fight. And therefore, that's what Hashem makes peace between. Seemingly, this longing and returning are contradictory. They're fighting. You're fighting your urges. From one side, you have an urge to leave. From the second side, you have the urge to stay. It's like when the Rebbe Rashab met Freud. And Freud analyzed the Rebbe Rashab, and he said, the biggest problem the Rebbe Rashab has is that he's longing for something he knows he can never reach. And that caused him agony. It's a very interesting observation. The Rebbe Rishab had a longing to something. He wanted to be somewhere, so to speak, where he knew he can't be. The infinite Hashem. And that bothered him. That was his hang-up, so to speak.
He wanted to be there while he was here. You're
right. Right, right.
With the longing and we can be together.
You mean simultaneously? Yeah, it has to be simultaneously.
Together.
That's what Hashem is making peace between Chesed and Gvura, fire and water, longing and returning. The longing is the fire that wants to go out. The water is coming down, wants to stay here. That is the peace that Hashem makes.
Is that the reason that one of the things that came down was the fire around the stone that came down?
You mean by the hail?
By the hail.
That was just a revelation of something above. Yeah, that opposites coexist. That's yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Hashem can make opposites coexist. What?
Barad, does it be general? Barad, is it what's on the show? Is it good? Can learn from it?
No, Barad in by Mitzrayim, not the hail now.
No.
Not a hailstorm today.
Barad comes down and the fire goes up.
Yeah, that's the Eisa Shalom. That's what it says. By Barad, the miracle was that fire and water, Rashi brings down the Chumash, that fire and water made peace. They coexisted in the Barad for the sake of Hashem.
What's the war in the Momah that the Hashem brings peace?
So we'll be here, he's explained. Normally it says Michal and Gavriel, which is. Yeah. But Isa Shalom Ben Ramav, he's explaining Hashem makes peace above means in the longing and the returning that the person has, these opposite.
Reconciling
both together. They coexist.
And if you fight up there between any other entity?
They don't physically fight, no. There's no boxing matches up there.
No, of course not. But
conceptually.
Is there a conflict?
Conceptually, Chesed and Gevurah are opposite. Kindness is unlimited, Gevurah is restrictive.
Yes.
So they're contradictory. And they have to coexist. And the only way, by the way, they can coexist is when you feel a level above both. To explain it in very, very practical language, there's something called men and there's something called women. As everybody knows, they are extremely... Huh? I'm not saying anything new. There's something called men and there's something called women. As everybody knows, they're from different planets. They're completely different. No, one's giver, one's receiver. There's a world of difference between men and women. Yet you come together in marriage, they become one. Okay? Now, the only way marriage works, and that's what the purpose of called the marriage vows, the concept of a shvuah, is that even things that when logically don't make sense, like David and Yonatan, right? They made a covenant. A covenant means even when things don't make sense to be together, the vow keeps you together. Okay? So the only way it works is when both are interested not in themselves, but in the goal. Because if each one is interested in themselves, there's no way in the world it could work. If I come before you, there's no way a marriage or a friendship could work. The only way it could work is because I am me and you are you and you're one, you are, it doesn't work. The only way it works, it's like when you have a committee doing something, a function or whatever. The only way it could be successful is if everybody is not thinking of themselves, they're thinking of the cause. Like you have that in sports.
Basketball,
the only time the team will work when I don't think about me making points. The team is one entity. It doesn't matter me or you. You and me are the same thing. It's the team. That's the only way it works. Right? So therefore, the concept of men and women, marriage, or anything for that matter, can only work when there's a bittul to the cause rather than the me.
Women don't get that number.
It's a good thing you're far away from the mic. Anyway, so that issue is so therefore, when you have a rot, therefore, by the way, the Rebbe Rashab writes in Samach to Samach, in the Maimorim, in the Fri, the Rebbe's Chasana, he writes, in order to combine the two opposites of men and women, at the time of the chuppah, which is the makif level, you know, that you bring down the essence of Hashem at the time of the chuppah, to give the power for the two opposites to function together in a way of procreation, which is yeshmiyayin. Therefore, like I mentioned many times, when I was about to go to my chuppah, a long time ago, Achsidi Shiyid, Rabbi Avraham Mayor, came over to me between Gabbos Pon and going to the chuppah in 770. So he said to me, Rabbi Lupadacher said that when a chosin goes to the chuppah, it's like the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know, it's his Yom Kippur day. So it says, a chuppah, is, Rabbi Lupadacher said, a chuppah is like a Kohen Gadol going into the Holy of Holies. And then he said, Rabbi Lubavitcher said, it's hashad and begin to sup a kid in the hand. It's a shame it's given to a little kid in the hands. It's a little boy getting married. He said, but the Inyan, what's the Inyan? Because the chuppah is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is, again, the Arden didn't take up place. It was the unity of opposites together. Right? That's the Inyan of Matan Torah. Matan Torah was the Chasana, which is the revelation of Elokus, in a way that you can unite heaven and earth. You can unite the longing and the coming. You can unite Gashmis and Uchnis. You can unite all those. Yep. Mao Shabbos Mavok.